I'll be too nervous to. I'll probably lost for words.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Lost for Words DraftKings podcast. I'm joined this week by Matt Vincenzi. Matt, we had a break last week. You were coaching in the playoffs. Yep. You got through that round. Nice, impressive victory then. And suddenly, or sadly, should I say, crashed out last night. But we've got you back talking golf, so hopefully that picks up the mood.
Yeah, absolutely, Will. And it's bittersweet coming to an end, but it's very time consuming and trying to wear many different hats and switch back and forth between a lot of different things sometimes gets tiresome. So I'm happy to kind of be focusing on golf here and get going into what it should be a really good event.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, as we've sort of had the last couple of weeks, and you know, we do interviews and we try doing what you're at school or coaching or, you know, all these sort of different things. So as you say, trying to, you know, get rid of some of those time constraints is great. From a completely selfish point of view for the podcast. So over to Bay Hill this week. Anything you want to touch on from the Cognizant Classic last week that you think was helpful to you this week, or just something you've got in your mind?
Well, not helpful. I mean, it was really disappointing for me. I was on Lowry. I really thought he was going to win. Before that delay, it seemed like he was in a really great position to do so. And then it just, yeah, everything kind of got messed up. He just came off the back after the delay and he just didn't have it. And once again, he comes up short.
Is there a problem with Shane Lowry?
It seems like it.
It's so weird because he's won at the absolute pinnacle. And like you could even say, like, if you'd make the argument of like, okay, he's won the Open Championship and he's in the UK or in Ireland, so maybe it doesn't really count in terms of winning on the PGA Tour, even though it's a major, obviously. But then he won the WGC. So it's not like he won at Firestone, right? So it's not like he can't do it. I think him and Fleetwood are very similar players, and they obviously they know they can go and win on the DP World Tour multiple times. It doesn't really faze them. Like, they know they're top player every single week they play there. And I just think they get to the PGA Tour and they're like, right, it's almost like just a monkey on their back. Like, I just want to pick up a regular win on the PGA Tour. And it's not even like, oh my God, I'm worried about Rory beating me, or I'm worried about whoever, Scotty Scheffler, whoever. It's just, I need to get a win in one of these regular events. I need to convert one of them. And I think they just put so much pressure on it that it's unnecessary, because I think Fleetwood could easily go and win the Open or the US Open or whatever, just like Lowry did, and then never win on the PGA Tour, just because they put so much emphasis on this kind of winning in America thing.
Yeah, I think it's definitely true. It's very similar to Rory at the majors. Like, you don't do it for a couple times and all of a sudden you're like, oh, now there's this pressure to win. And then it built, and every time you don't do it, that pressure gets bigger and bigger. And the more the pressure gets, the harder it is to do so.
Do you think if there wasn't a delay, it'd change anything? Or do you think you just would have struggled? Hard to tell, I guess.
I think he seemed like he was cruising. And then, I mean, it's a tough thing to ask to have a guy sit around till almost 5:00 PM and then go tee off. And he struggled, and then he was behind. So then when we tee up the following day, he's three shots behind and you feel like he's chasing, which isn't really a great position for Lowry.
Yeah, I think that's potentially the issue, is like, he knows he's got to go after Rick Crowe, he knows he's got Van Roy, has gone a shot 7 under through 8 in the final round, and he knows his birdies to be made. And I think his game is like, right, get out in front and hold on, hope disaster strikes. So yeah, I think it's one of those ones. But the one thing I would say, Not specifically, but you know, we talked about Jake Knapp at the start of the year and we're like, who the fuck is this guy? And then like suddenly he's the second best player in the world behind Matthew Pavon. Like, it seems to be that these players are just comfortable now. And I can't decide what it is. I mean, the lazy narrative has been that you lose some players to live and suddenly the weaker players win, right? I don't think it's as simple as that. But it's obviously going to have an effect. I think it's just, I don't know if there's just a gap. I think people have realized now that you can go and win. Like, I think it's as simple as that. People have seen people do it. And I think seeing a Grace or Chris Kirk win the biggest event of the year to start, Grayson Murray goes and wins at 400-1 or whatever, and they just see these players win, everyone just feels a bit more confident every single time. It makes things easier. And I think just the pathways to the tour now are a little bit easier. People relax off a bit and things like that. So yeah, I think the less competition for cards is hurting people, helping people, I think.
Yeah, I think definitely. But even so, it does seem like more this year than ever in the past. and it could be a ripple effect from 1 week to the next. But I do think the live thing has a lot to do with it. With it's just the tour is weaker.
Yeah. And also, I don't know what it is that's making it. Because there's always this thing, like, eventually an elite has to win, and it'll probably be at Bay Hill. But we said that about Riviera, we said that about Torrey Pines. I think I was just talking about to Jason, like, we've always backed these long shots to win. It just seems to be that they're now doing it. So it's not like we're changing our system, the way that we approach things. Like, I'm not suddenly going, right, I need to have three players at 100s, one and bigger, or in the 6K range in DraftKings. Like, we're always picking those players anyway. It's just that they're getting over the line more often than not now.
Yeah, so, I mean, perhaps an opportunity. But once again, I'll say it for probably the third time in 5 weeks. I think a big dog wins this week.
Well, let's look at the big dogs. So we've got Scottie Scheffler, 11-3. Rory McIlroy, 10-6. Patrick Cantlay, 10. Three players over 10K. Weird pricing. Like, why is that?
And we get a lot. I think it's because we have so many over 9, right?
Yeah. I guess it's just a smaller field. It just means you've got to do this. But, like, is there a... I think there is a $700 gap between Scheffler and Rory right now.
Yeah, probably. But I strongly prefer Rory this week.
I prefer neither. Like, I just don't think either of them are going to win. I think it could be a Patrick Cantlay redemption.
Yeah, it's interesting. Hasn't done that well here.
I think he just played it, like, once.
Yeah.
And he actually, I think he played it all right. Like, I think he was fourth on his only appearance. So, okay. Like, it's the fact that he hasn't played it all up until last year when he's basically forced to, because it was a designated event. It kind of puts you off. But then you look at the fact he's one start, one finishing fourth. It's pretty impressive. So, and it's just like he's getting out the block so far. Like, he's definitely a first round leader pick this week. It's no doubt about it. Like, he's shooting a low round every opening round. So, it's whether he can kind of shoot the low one on Thursday and hang on, I think, with Cantlay.
Yeah, and I think if you feel that way, it's a great place to start your lineups, because I think with all these players right around him, I think he's going to probably go under-owned for sure. So if you think he's going to play great, I think he makes a strong way to start your lineup.
Are you playing Rory then, if you strongly prefer him over Scheffler?
Yeah, I think he's going to win.
Okay.
I think he's going to win. He's basically lapping the field off the tee so far this season. He was in his last 24 rounds, he's gaining double the strokes off the tee as the second best player. And I just think that's so important here. His history here is insane. In his last 7 starts here, he hasn't finished worse than 13th. And last year was a runner up. I just think, and he needs to win soon, and I feel like he's going to win soon. And these are the type of events that he does win.
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously won it once. He's had, like I just said, a runner up last year. He's had 3 or 4 more top tens. It's just, I think the only thing that bothers me is, like, he came out really hot on the DP World Tour, second and first of 2 starts, and he's been 56, 24, 21st. Like, is it just him slowly finding things out? Is he, I can't work out if he's playing to prepare for the Masters, and, like, think it will culminate between him playing well here and the players or something like that, or whether he just hasn't had it for a couple of weeks. That's definitely entirely possible as well.
Yeah, I think he obviously didn't play very much to start the year, and I think he's just kind of getting into things. I think last week was getting his feet wet in Florida, and I think he played okay, considering all. He lost, like, 4 strokes putting. He led the field in tee to green. It was his best tee to green week since last year at API. Yeah. So I think he's just kind of getting into it. I think he's just getting his feet wet, competitive rust off for the start of the year.
So, yeah, if you're that strong on Rory, you're obviously going to play him. I'm going to go Cantlay. And then it gets kind of interesting. You talked about all these people in the 9. So you go from Victor Hovland at 9-9, Schauffele 9-8, Åberg 9-5, Spieth 9-4, Burns 9-3, Homer 9-2, Morikawa 9-1, JT 9. I've seen a lot of love for Åberg this week.
Oh, yeah. A lot of love. And again, it's a little frustrating because, I feel like I was one of the first ones on the Åberg train, and now he's just the most popular bet every single week, and everyone loves him and wants to play him, and it makes me steer away from him. And I do think it's a great course fit for him, but based on the popularity and his little bit of an underwhelming start to the season, I'm probably going to avoid him.
I think for me, that the reason I would like him, I mean, I won't because of how owned he's going to be, but it's probably the first course where he's seeing it for the second time.
Yeah.
Wasn't this where he made his debut?
Yeah, finished 22nd or something.
Yeah, 24th, I think. So, like, just the fact he's kind of got that bank of knowledge, we obviously know off the tee is important here. Like, I think that's going to be a really big factor. I don't like Schauffele, and strangely, I don't really like Hovland this week, which is a real reversal for me. So the next one there makes a lot of sense with Åberg. I wanted to like Spieth. I don't think I can do it. I think I'm concerned with where he's going to go off the tee here. Burns and Homer interest me.
Yeah.
I think with Burns, especially, like, four top tens in a row, Homer just really solid at the course. We know he likes this type of golf. I think his record is actually a little bit underappreciated here, 24th, 10th, 17th and 14th. But API, that's kind of tough to build that bank of form for someone like Max Homer. So I quite like that. I know it's obviously not California, and that's the thing that people are going to point out, but I'm fine with him because, again, I don't have much interest in Morikawa or JT.
Yeah, I mean, you got to pick someone, right? I Hovland, I mean, if he doesn't get played as much, I think it could be a good spot for him. I think this is an event he's going to win eventually. I've bet him the last 2 years here. He's almost gotten it done. He's looked at times looked like he was going to get it done both times, but didn't. And I think it's a great golf course for him. I think he loves Florida golf. He was on the Claude Harmon, Son of a Butch podcast last week that I listened to, and he talked about how much he loves Florida golf. So I think maybe we see a good week from him this week, and then I could see him going and winning the Players next week.
Yeah, I can see him definitely going on a tear. And I think the kind of hopeful me is hoping that he plays badly for a couple of weeks and we get a bigger number on the Masters. But I don't think he's ever going to go big enough to the point where you want him to be playing badly to get it. It's almost like you'd rather he just stayed at the same price and was going in with some form. So it's a tough one with Hovland. I just don't get the impression from him at the moment that he's going to win. But to be confirmed, I guess. Anything on Morikawa or JT?
Morikawa, I think he could probably play well, but I think he's overpriced pretty much every week, and maybe that's mostly in the betting market, but I just think he's still overpriced. JT, I mean, he's tough to figure out right now. I do think he'll bounce back at some point. I do think he'll win something big this year. I still do believe that, but I just can't do it coming off of his last start. He misses a cut in the 60 man field.
And I just don't think it's going to be here.
Me neither.
I think if he does it, it's going to be are they playing Valspar this year?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it'll be there. Let's go into the eights. So I like Zalatoris. I think he can win. As long as he's fit, I think he can contend most weeks now. Again, I'm interested in Fitz. I looked at Fitz, and I thought he was playing worse than he is. I had it in my head that he was really struggling. And look, it's not been the dream start of the season, but he was 14th at the Century, where he was 9th after two rounds, 10th going into Sunday. He did miss the cut of the Sony, but again, it wasn't like a horrendous miscut or anything. He was 58th at Pebble, but he was 10th going into that final weather-affected round, 15th at Phoenix, and 21st last week at the Honda. I don't think he's playing as badly as people have got it in their head. Certainly not how I had it in my head.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I do like Fitz. He's great in Florida. He's, I want to say, third in the field in strokes gained total in Florida. He's elite skill set. I always say European midgets win at Bay Hill.
Yeah.
And he's a European midget. I hit two of them. I hit Molinari 33-1, and then Hatton at 55-1.
So on to the trio of midgets. It's not going to be Matthew Bond.
No, it's another. I actually think it's going to be another one, another European midget. But
yeah, well, we'll get to that. Interestingly, this could be completely unrelated to the picks we're going to talk about in a minute. But I've done this little bit in my odds checker preview map of trying to find a correlating course. And last week it was the Sony Open for the Cognizant, and Austin Eckroat had finished 12th there. So I'm rolling with it again. I tried to look at what, because you've had some weird winners here, right? And I just tried to see what they had in common. So Kirk Kitayama had finished tied eighth at the Phoenix Open this year. He'd also been inside the top 25 on his debut there, despite a poor round. Tyrrell Hatton, sixth at the Phoenix Open, won here. Matt Every, two top tens in the Phoenix Open, obviously won here twice. Martin Laird, third, fifth, seventh and ninth at the Phoenix Open, has won here. Then you put in the fact that Scottie Scheffler, two wins at Phoenix, win here. Vijay is exactly the same. I think there's something in that.
Yeah, it could be. So who does that lead you to?
Well, it doesn't really. Like I just think it's like I think the people that I liked would have played well at those golf courses anyway. But I think
Hideki.
It can help with Hideki is the point.
Yeah.
It could help Hideki. I think it could help with Spieth, if I explain why he's played well here in the past.
Tagala.
Yeah. So I think it's a nugget worth, probably one that if you could find someone further down the field, like a Ricky Fowler, if people were to play him, he obviously loves Phoenix. He's played well here in the past. But yeah, we'll come on to those a little bit later on. Who's your European midget that you think is going to win?
Tommy Fleetwood. And I've been down this road before.
It concerns me.
But this is a place where I always thought he'd make so much sense to win. He is a European midget. Skill set wise, look at the Hat and the Molinaris of the world who have done well here. He's very similar guy. I do think he's primed to win something big. One of my preseason predictions was that he would win a PGA Tour event. Another one was that the LIV players would be able to play in the President's Cup. So take that with a grain.
Basically, ignore you, basically.
Yeah, so take that with a grain of salt. But I thought the 10th at Genesis was really encouraging. He's good off the tee. You know, he's typically really good off the tee. And I just think he's kind of under the radar this week, whereas typically here, I feel like he'd be a really popular bet. I don't think he's really getting that this week. And I just think this is a great spot for him.
Kurt Kitayama won here last year, finished second at the Scottish Open at the Renaissance Club. Tommy Fleetwood and Matt Fitzpatrick will play well there over the years. Rory's obviously won both. So I think that only helps. Whether again there's anything to it, but I think it's you know, wind affected, it's a little bit linksy, it plays well in Europeans' hands. Like, it could just be as simple as that. It could just be that players like a bit of wind, they all base themselves on Florida. I think the underrated factor is that the Europeans play so well here because they just live in Florida. Like, I think it's
right.
But it doesn't matter and what.
Saturday, Sunday is supposed to be really windy.
Yeah. So I think if Fleetwood can get himself into the lead, I think he's almost, we always think this, like, Tommy Fleetwood was going to have to come off the pace to win because he struggles so much in contention, right? But I actually wonder if it's the reverse. Like, he needs to be three or four ahead, and then it just gets brutal.
Fairways and greens.
And he can just hang on with a plus bottom final round or something.
I think so. And I think I've always just had the feeling with him, it's like he plays good in big events. I don't think he's going to win some random event. I think when he finally gets over the hump, it's going to be something like this.
Yeah. How did Tyrrell – didn't Tyrrell – struggled a bit in the final round, but then won when he won it? Or am I remembering that wrong?
Yeah, he did. I think he did. Yeah, he went out. He chipped it in the water, I think on 13 or 14.
Yeah, like, I think, like, he'd win in that kind of, like, situation. Yeah, so I'm just looking at Tyrrell. He won with a 73-74 weekend. So,
yeah.
Like, that...
It was windy over the weekend.
Yeah, I think that could be Tommy's path to victory. So if it does get like that, then I definitely would like him. I think I'd like Fitz as well.
But I could also see the Molinari path. So he was like 8 back entering Sunday.
Yeah.
He just goes nuts.
Yeah.
50-footer on 17.
Yep.
And then no one thought the lead was going to hold, but then it's one of those things where just no one makes birdies, and then he just somehow wins. So both those ways, I think, make sense for Fleetwood.
Do you know who I like, who I haven't liked for a while? Tom Kim. He was 34th here last year. But he was actually inside the top 20 after two rounds. And I know, like, we're looking at Tom Kim and, you know, not a big driver of the golf ball, potentially not the best thing for him. But I think he's playing a little bit better than, again, a little bit like the Fitz thing. I think people are pushing the sort of panic buttons with him a bit. Like, final round 66 of the Century, 31st at Pebble, but he was 18th after two rounds, 17th in Phoenix, where he opened 74, where he went 66, 67, 67. 24th at the Genesis, he was 11th for halfway. And then even last week, he shot final round 76, where he's actually inside the top 25 or so going into the final round. I think he's playing better than he's getting credit for, and it could just be a good golf course for him if he gets, you know, because he's played well in, like, the Open and stuff, right?
Yeah, he just feels a little short for Bay Hill.
That's the thing. Like, it's almost like he's got to play perfectly to do it. Is
yeah.
And then it comes on to my favorite. I love Jason Day.
I do too.
Like, I genuinely think he's going to win.
I think he can win, yeah.
I think with Jason Day, like, when you look at his course record, it looks, I mean, he's got the win and the 10th. The win, you would argue, came when he was the best player in the world, right? But it's the 10th last year that's really impressive. It was the 11th after 54 holes in 2021 when he wasn't playing his best. 18th after 54 holes in 18. 8th after round 1, 13th after round 2 and 17. He's just been there or thereabouts pretty much every single time he's teed it up here. 20th going to the final round in 2013. He just seems so steady here. And the one thing, if you're being completely greedy, Matt, is that you'd want to see him playing better off the tee this season. But other than that, he's playing really well with his irons the last couple of weeks. Tee's green overall, he's good. A lot of approach and around the green obviously helping him. But three top tens in five starts in 2024 without having his best off the tee is pretty alarming.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think I can definitely see him winning. I definitely will play him. I don't think he's going to be all that popular.
Do you think he can win a major?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, like I think I'm going to have to go down that path again. But
I'd love to be getting 80-1 or something, though.
But he was like 100-1 last year for the PGA. I think I put it on maybe the US Open, probably around this time of year. So I might look into that again.
Yeah.
Anything else in the eights that you like?
Did we talk about Cam Young?
We didn't, and that was the one I was going to say. So you go ahead.
I don't know if I like him or not. I mean, I was on him last week. He played well, but I can see why he's very frustrating for many people to bet and play every week. Obviously, course fit-wise, it seems really good. Did he play last year?
Yeah, he was 10th last year. 13th and 10th in two starts here.
I mean, yeah, I think he makes plenty of sense. Can he win? I don't know, but I do think he's probably a good play.
So I don't think he wins. So I think if you're putting him in there to win, that's different. But there's every reason to go... I think kind of Cantlay, Cam Young, Fleetwood or Fitz start. You can even put Fleetwood and Fitz in. And that leaves you just around 7,000 to finish off the last two. So if you've got a couple of guys lower down that you like, I mean, we know that Minwoo Lee and Van Rooyen, for example, are underpriced. They're going to be high owned because of that. But if you can find someone else in that kind of mold, I think you can play that route.
Yeah, I do too.
So that's the 8Ks, I think, done. Sevens, I really like Corey Connors this week.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think we're going to be alone on that, though.
It's so weird, though, because like I feel like Corey Connors was one of those people that everyone played every week because he filled up the stat sheet, right? He was having these kind of like 15th, 12th, 8th, 6th, or whatever. He's made 13 cuts in a row without really threatening to do anything. And I just felt it was almost underappreciated, but he was doing it without his best kind of ball striking stuff. Whereas now it seems to be slowly creeping back and it's at the right time. Like third here, 3 years ago, he was the first 6-hole leader. 11th 2 years ago, 9th after 54 holes. And then last year was third after 36 holes and then just fell away over the weekend. But yeah, like you say, he's not going to go amiss, but I do really like him.
Yeah, I think he makes a lot of sense. He likes this course. He puts it pretty well here. I think he makes sense as a play.
Is the issue that people are not going to go to Kirk Harmon, Siwoo that are around him?
Yeah, I think that's probably it. And I've heard him mentioned a lot this week. And I think people don't have much to go off of in this range. And I think they'll go with what, you know, course history. And he is playing pretty well. He's gaining strokes, ball striking and consistently. So
can you do the Jake Knapp thing now? Or is it just going to be too popular?
No, I don't even have any interest. I looked at him to miss the cut earlier. He was plus 320.
But he is a good fit.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
He's a good fit.
He'd probably be a better fit if this was a weaker field.
Yeah, I'm not going to go down the Matthew Pavon route again. I think like that played out last week, and it played out fine. Like I actually bet him last week, and he was up there for a little bit and sort of faded away, but I think this range is really interesting. I love Keegan. So Keegan's definitely on my list. I've bet him. His course record here is insane. It's better than it actually even looks on paper. So he missed his first cut here and then made 12 in a row. Third and second is next two starts. 10th, 11th, 10th, last three. But even when he's finished like 46th, he was the first 6-hole leader. He's been 26th. He's been 34th when he's top 20 after a couple of rounds. Top 20 after a couple of rounds, finished 36th. 12th after 54 holes, finishes 49th. The one problem with Keegan, and I think it's okay in DFS, is he just has one horrendous round here almost every year. And it's like 77, 78, 79, whatever. It's a complete ejection. I guess he just finds water or whatever. He just puts himself into terrible spots. But I think he can make the birdies to make up for that in DraftKings. So it's a slight concern with the bet, but otherwise I think he's a good play.
Yeah. What's Russell Henley done here?
Russell Henley. What has Russell Henley done? It's a good question. He was 13th here 2 years ago. Best effort.
I don't mind him. I'm trying to go off the board a little bit with these, some of these guys. And another guy I'm looking at hard is Nikolai.
So the Nikolai one's interesting because I'm pretty sure he's played well in that Scottish Open that obviously Kitayama played well in. So I think that's potentially a play there. I'd love it if he was just playing the Puerto Rico Open because he'd probably win it. But it's testament to his game that he's here. And look, he's the perfect course fit. Like it's ideal for him. I guess the slight concern is going to chuck himself in the water or something. But yeah, he was sixth in that Scottish Open last year that Rory won, and Bob finished second. It was the same one that Kitayama was in second the year before. So if you believe in that kind of link, then that helps.
And the good European players have been good here.
Yeah, and he is certainly one of those. So I do like him. I think. Do you think people are going to play him though?
Am I going to play him?
Or do you think other people are going to play him?
I don't.
You don't? Fair.
Do you?
I think so. I think people are just going to be looking for... I mean, I don't have the ownership in front of me, but like, I could just see it being like a little bit popular. I just think people want to play Europeans because it's Bay Hill, but
yeah,
maybe they'll go for even a Lowry's a terrible course one. The other one I like is Scott. I know you don't need much selling on Adam Scott, but another one that I don't think his record here is particularly... is appreciated. Like he was third here, but he was the 54 hole leader. He was first after every round that year. He was seventh after round one when he finished 35th. He was second after round one when he finished 12th. He was 26th and 31st the last 2 years, but he opened with a 68 in round one 2 years ago to finish fifth after round one, and then he was 13th after round one, 9th after round two last year. So seems to be, again, a bit like Bradley, kind of puts himself in the mix almost every year and then kind of fades away. But I think that's okay in this format.
Yeah, I like Scott here. He's playing kind of sneaky good.
Everyone was kind of finding it weird that he got an invite. It's like Adam Scott can get an invite until he's 100 into anything, I think.
I think you have a problem with some of the other guys who got in, but I don't think he's one of them.
But it's just, wasn't it Scott and Webb? And like everyone obviously had the problem with Webb, but like...
And then Malnati in one.
Yeah, and then like... Well, you know, it's another player from the Player Advisory Council. Like Adam Scott has probably earned the right to go to pretty much every course until he's 100 years old. Like, He does so much for the game of golf, traveling around. I think he's absolutely fine. So, a little bit of a side note there. But I like Hoagie again.
Yeah, I mean, he's
I can't good. Quit him. I just can't. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I should quit him, but I can't. Record here, 26th, 15th. Two missed cuts and then another 32nd. Like, solid without being spectacular here. I think just the way he's ball striking it is enough for me to be on board again with Tom Hoagie.
Yeah, he's not for me, but I do think he makes sense with the approach numbers.
Who else do you like in the sevens?
I like Benny Ahn again. I mean, he's playing good. His finishes are good. He was hot on Sunday. He likes playing in Florida. He's cheap enough now. It's not like we're paying 9K for him anymore like we have in the last few times. So I think you can go back to him.
Yeah.
I kind of do like that Henley one. I think he's playing decent. I think Rose maybe could go to him here.
Rose.
Yeah.
I think we need to make a pact about Justin Rose. I think we need to talk each other out of Justin Rose. Like, I think he might be cooked again.
Yeah.
Four straight missed cuts to this event. But before that, he really liked it. Like third, 15th, second, 9th, 13th, third. So the old version of Justin Rose loved this event. And, you know, I'm saying he's cooked. I mean, it was only two events ago that he finished 11th at Pebble Beach. So it's not, you know, it's probably a little bit harsh. But,
you know. And if it plays tough and windy.
Yeah, I think like if it gets harder, that's going to suit him, obviously. But I think he would need that the way he's playing.
Yeah.
He's 6'8 anyway, so he's not even in the seven. So it's a completely different conversation, I guess. I think Ricky's interesting at 7'1. He's just showing a little bit of life. It's not to be too excited about, but I think there's enough there that he could be useful. And he'd certainly be one that if the weather got bad to sort of look at.
Yeah, he showed some flashes. Probably not. I'm not there yet, but I do hope he continues to put it together.
Yeah, it was definitely better when he was back. Like when him, Day, and Rose were kind of throwing things back, I enjoyed it. And then Bez, I'm on Bez again in 7K. It's not really too much to add on him, other than the fact that his approach game's been really strong and he loves his golf course.
Yeah, I like it. I wouldn't mind playing Lowry, even though his course form is so bad.
Why? Because his course form's so bad as contrarian?
Yes, and because he's obviously playing good. He still finished fourth last week.
I can't envision him turning his horrendous course form around.
Yeah, I get that. Why does everybody love Harris English this week?
Well, I was just about to ask you about him because he obviously finished second to Kitayama last year, right? Like, he was pretty solid on that Sunday. He was ninth three starts ago. He was fourth after 54 holes. And he's just been one of those people that's kind of made the cut almost every year here, like 14th, 29th, 22nd. So he just feels like a safe pair of hands. But I think, like, I was trying to weigh up whether I think he can win, and the answer is no. But he's been 14th, 10th, 17th, and 7th this season.
Yeah, he's having a decent season. But I just saw earlier, like, a lot of people saying he was going to win.
Yeah, I think he's going to win is bold. I think him contributing to a DraftKings lineup is absolutely fine. But I think he'll be popular at 7-3.
Yeah, I'm just going to add this. I am getting a weird feeling about Nikolai. I don't know why.
So you're like all in on Nikolai? Or?
Yeah.
Have you bet him?
I haven't bet him, no. I forgot he existed until I was going through the price range.
So are you going to bet him now?
What is he? Is he 120?
Hold up. It's a good question. What number would he need to be for you to bet him?
At least 85.
He's 100.
Okay. I think 100, I might give him a little sprinkle.
He's 100 on FanDuel, 80 with DraftKings. So,
what do you think of it? Do you think he can win?
I genuinely believe that he can win anything. I think that the problem with him is he's pretty volatile. His game is, he's either got it or he hasn't. I don't think he's sort of started to add some consistency to his game, but I think that only lasts on the DP World Tour. I don't know if he's necessarily consistent on the PGA Tour just yet. I mean, he was his second at Torrey Pines, but then 31st, 39th, 52nd since then is a bit of a blow. But he could still just be finding his feet. Like, it's his first full season on the PGA Tour, right? So, could be.
What you just described is the reason why he makes a good bet. He can win anything. He's 100-1. He's volatile, which is fine. If he misses the cut, doesn't pay any less than if he finishes second.
No, exactly. Like, I would say, I'd qualify by saying I think he's a way better bet than he is a DraftKings play. That would be my
bet.
I don't know if he's going to make impressions in the majors this season or not. Like, he was 23rd at the Open last year. He made the cut. He's played in two majors, right? He made the cut in two majors. Two cuts in the Open, one cut in the PGA out of two. Hasn't played in Masters, hasn't played the US Open. So it'd be interesting to see how he gets on in those kind of places.
Like, I don't like that T52 in Mexico, even though he should really fit there.
That's the concern. That was the perfect test for him, and then, like, just kind of shit the bed. But I think also that kind of, do you forgive him when others won't, sort of thing?
Yeah, I think so. Farmers, second at the Farmers.
That's what I mean. This is him all over. Like, back to back weeks of seventh and second, and then just pretty shit. Like, and it's just like, is he gone? Is his form gone? Or is he just going to come back and do well? And I think that's the wrestling you've got to do in your own mind, I guess.
Look at this. When he last in the fall, BMW PGA was bad, Shriner's bad, Zozo bad, and then he goes to Nedbank second, then wins the DP World Tour Championship.
Yeah.
So.
And then he's what, part of the Ryder Cup team?
Yeah.
I like him. He's one of my favorite players. Like, just purely for the, like, just sticks to his game and launches it. Doesn't seem to muck around. Just kind of knows what he's good at. I like it. In the 6K, obviously people are going to go to Van Roy and Minwoo Lee at 6,600. Any less obvious plays in this range?
I'm not going to play Minwoo, even though he makes sense. He's just going to be way, way, way too popular. And I get it. He can still be popular and you can still be successful with your lineups. But I'm going to try to gain that leverage by taking a risk and hoping not to play him. Let's see. Anyone else? Well, that's why I said Rose. He's 68. What about Straka? Is he playing terrible or something?
Straka has played Bay Hill four times and missed a cut every single time.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, there's not much I liked in here. CT Pan is playing pretty well.
Yeah, I was hoping he was going to play Puerto Rico. Like, he's not going to be a factor here. John, I think, sneakily could be quite impressive. Is Nick Taylor is 6,500.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little bit strong on a player that's just literally won an event. And if there's any bearing whatsoever on that Phoenix Open theory, I just sort of spouted at the top there. Second round 65 here on debut, finished 35th. He's been pretty weak since, missed cut 56, missed cut 32nd, missed cut. But I think I can see a world where Nick Taylor finishes 15th or 20th.
Yeah, why not? I think so. I mean, he seems like a better player than where he's being priced for sure. Like, look, I agree with you. Looking at all these people like CT Pan, can he really factor in the top 10, which is really what you want to swing for the fences for? No, probably not.
Yeah.
So one guy who maybe could, yeah, I think Nick Taylor makes sense.
There's literally no one else. Like, I mean, he's been literally awful since he won, right?
Who could have predicted that?
Yeah, I think that's it. Like, I could see a world where Putnam plays okay, but nothing too confident about. I thought Glover was finding his game again, but I might be making that up. But I'm not enthused about Lucas Glover in 2024. So
no, I don't think you got to go this down though. Anyway,
I would stick if I was really looking for someone to kind of prop up a lineup. I think it would. I mean, you'd obviously go to Van Rooyen and Minwoo Lee for just talent upside, but I think in that same range, Nick Taylor should be having the same discussion.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's it. Like, one of them. We're not going to cover Puerto Rico. I'm having a real hard time saying Puerto Rico this week. I don't know how to even pronounce it. How do you pronounce it?
Puerto Rico.
Yeah, it's not Puerto Rico though, is it?
Well, I have a Boston accent though, you know.
It's definitely like Puerto Rico, isn't it?
Puerto Rico.
That's it. There you go. So that's how you pronounce it. Yeah. I like that. That was a little bit of like the national tongue, but also with Boston in there, it was a bit confusing.
Yeah. Well, it's the best I could do.
I like it. Matt, let's summarize our favorite players in each range. So you're going to go with Rory McIlroy in the 10-6 spot.
Yeah.
I'm taking Cantlay at 10. I just think it's a bit of a redemption week for him. Favorite player in the nines.
I want to say Victor, though, but it's most likely I'll go Rory and skip down to the high eights, but I'll say Victor.
I think it's Burns for me at 9-3. Eights for you, is that just Tommy Fleetwood?
Absolutely.
I'm going Jason Day at 8-2.
I love him, too.
Russell Henley's 8 as well. So can you see a world where you sort of go like Russell Henley, Day, Fleetwood, and then give yourself one pricey player?
Rory, yeah.
Can you do that? So let's try this while we're listing these off. So Rory, Fleetwood, Day, Henley. That leaves you with 7,200 for two more players. Like 7,200 average. So you could have, well, I guess it'd be quite chalky, but you could go like Corey Connors 7-8 and then leave yourself the Nick Taylor one we talked about.
Yep.
So you could go, you could have Van Rooyen, Minwoo Lee if you wanted to eat the chalk. Or you can put Taylor, I think, would be a little bit more kind of.
Yeah, I definitely would do that. I hope Minwoo misses a cut.
So this lineup of Rory, Fleetwood, Day, Connors, Henley, Taylor.
Yeah, I love it.
I think that's good. Like,
I do. I like it a lot.
And I also, like, from my personal perspective, think you can drop down to Patrick Cantlay and then be a little bit more flexible. So okay, let's go Cantlay, Fleetwood, Jason Day again. Maybe I'll then take maybe like Fitz over Henley, and then you've got a bit more work to do again. But you basically leave yourself with exactly the same issue. But I could go with like Keegan at 7-4 and then leave myself Bazenhout.
Yeah.
So Cantlay, Day, Fitzpatrick, Fleetwood, Bradley, Bazenhout.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I quite like that. I guess people can figure out from what those two lines we just put together the favourite players that we like in those ranges. I don't think we need to go player by player, Matt. Any final closing statements?
No, I think one of the two European midgets will win, either Rory or Tommy.
Rory is surprisingly small.
Yes, very small, very small.
Like, I think that's why he hit the gym so hard that period of time where he did. Like
little man syndrome.
Yeah, he's compensating. He's tiny.
Yes. I remember going to an event and being like, holy shit, this guy. I never knew how small he was. And Tommy's tiny too.
What is, like, Rory, like 5'8"?
I think probably 5'7".
Yeah, I reckon whatever it is, you can knock whatever he's listed at, you can knock a couple of inches off. The guy is short, which should be admired, but 5'9", Wikipedia reckons Rory McIlroy is. That's not true.
No, 5'7", 5'8".
I'll give him the 5'8", because that's what I kind of thought. What about Tommy Fleetwood? What's your guess for Tommy Fleetwood? This should be a new feature, guess the height.
I think he's also, I bet he's listed at 5'10", but I think he's 5'8", 5'9".
How is your imperial measurement conversion? He's 1.78 meters.
I have no idea what that means.
I don't know. I don't know why suddenly on Wikipedia they don't list Tommy Fleetwood's height in fucking feet, but...
they probably will in America. Let me see. Tommy Fleetwood height. You know, I... girlfriend 30 years older is a bit strange to me.
Uh-huh.
His girlfriend being 30 years older than him.
30 years older. It's not quite that dramatic, but she's not young, is she? By all accounts, loves
it. He's 5'11".
He's not 5'11". That's definitely factually incorrect.
22 years difference.
Unless does he look shorter, Fleetwood, because he stands next to Finno every week?
It could be, but I bet he's 5'9".
What qualifies as a midget to you? This is the final closing statement, Matt.
I would say anyone under 5'10".
So Fleetwood technically isn't a midget.
No, he's under 5'10". That's a lie. He's 5'8", 5'9".
So you're nudging him down a peg. Maybe he's like 5'9" without his golf shoes on or something.
Yeah.
What's Fitz, like 5'6"? He's tiny, right?
He's definitely a European midget.
Cool. Well, before we talk about every midget in the field and rank players by that, I guess we'll wrap it up there. Matt, thank you very much as ever, bud. Nice to do the one event. Players' Championship next week. So plenty to look forward to. No DP World Tour event next week as well, so fully focused on that event. Any early predictions for that you want to get in?
Just the players?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I think Vic could have a really good week. I think...
I'm guessing betting's out for that already.
No, I don't think... you never get futures on that for some reason.
Well, I saw them, but maybe I'm making it up.
Maybe you did.
Yeah, I mean, I do make things up. So here we go. We've got some odds for the Players Championship. So let's have a look at. It's only one bookmaker over here. Victor Holland's 12-1.
What book is it?
Sky Bet. So it's just an English bookmaker. But yeah, nothing to really shout about by the looks of it. I think they're being pretty safe by going up early. So
who's the favourite, Scotty?
Scotty 8, Rory 9, Victor 12, Xander, Patrick 14s, Colin 20, and bigger the rest.
Huh? Yeah, I'm sure they're protecting it.
I was hoping they were going to hang a number on like Hideki or something and just see. Yeah. He's 25-1, so we can forget about that.
Is Sergio playing?
Sergio, I can just imagine him getting a welcome arrival at the Players Championship.
I would bet him there.
I remember betting him 1 year thinking he was definitely going to win, and didn't he like just completely shit the bed in the final round? Like he was playing so well, and then he like four putted every green. Like
that was against Tiger, wasn't it?
No, it was later than that. Like it was like 2017 or something.
But great fit for him too.
Yeah, loves it. Matt, enjoyable as ever. Love talking midget golfers with you. On to next week.
All right, go Rory, go Tommy. Tommy, don't break my heart, even though I know you will.
Thanks, Matt.